Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When it's time for a new credit card, the best ones do way more than just buy stuff. And that's why U.S. Bank offers credit cards that make every day more rewarding. Earn cash back, score points when you shop, dine out, travel, or binge watch, or get a low intro APR. U.S. Bank credit cards were designed to fit your lifestyle. So make every day more rewarding and check out usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome to the RotoWire DFS podcast. Derek Van Riper here with Mario Puig. If you're listening to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or any other platform, you could leave us a nice rating and review. Please take a few moments to do that. It goes a long way to support this podcast. Thanks to those of you who've already done that. This podcast, of course, is sponsored by FanDuel. Let's go ahead and start breaking down the Monday slate, Mario. 9 games scheduled Monday, April 24th, but 8 games likely to play, at least at this point. We're recording around lunchtime on the East Coast here on this Monday morning in Madison. And it looks like the Baltimore-Tampa Bay game is in serious danger of being rained out. The early models are not favorable. By the time this recording is heard, it's possible that we'll have an official postponement of that game. Even if we don't, it seems like the early forecasts are suggesting lengthy delays and a lot of hazardous weather at Camden Yards.
Yeah, and for me, this is an easy fade anyway. Like, I don't really want to deal with trying to pick batters against Archer and then Tampa Bay. I don't know. Baldo's vulnerable, I guess. But I was mostly looking at the other the Coors and Arizona, those kinds of matchups, rather than this one anyway. So I'm just kind of skipping it.
Yeah, I think that was one where, matchup-wise, Archer against the Orioles on today's slate would have been in play for me, but hitters against him, not really something I do. I don't really mess with Ubaldo at all. I don't use him. Nope. I don't usually put hitters up against him because he's my kryptonite. Like, I can't get a read on what he's going to do with any sort of success.
We were talking a little bit on the show, but that's the same thing for Miguel Gonzalez for me at this point. Like, I will target those guys if things line up right, but I'm not like hooting and hollering about how excited I am to do it.
You should hoot and holler more often. At the top of the board, price-wise, Zach Greinke, $10,000 tonight, home against the Padres. The Padres, of course, have a pretty anemic offense. Greinke has pitched well early on this season. Has he pitched well enough for you to trust him in his home starts? I mean, the matchup is certainly a good one. Last year, Chase Field was not kind to Greinke. When he left the ball up, it was punished. Seems like he's kind of righted the ship to start things off through his first 4 starts.
Right, and like we reasoned through on the show, it's not really so much are you bought in fully to him pitching in the stadium. It's like, can you really convince yourself you'd rather go with Liriano or something like that? Which, after we talked about it, I've concluded that for me, only 2 pitchers I have in play are Greinke and Vargas. There's just so much blow up potential with like all of these guys, but especially everybody but those 2. I think, again, that's just presuming the Tampa Baltimore game doesn't go, because Archer's pretty great, obviously, as dangerous as a matchup but that is.
Yeah, I'm kind of crossing Archer off unless we get some surprisingly good news later in the day. Jason Vargas, though, 8,500 going up against the White Sox. Liriano, 8,400 going up against the Angels. Both of those guys are on the road. Vargas has been killing it early on this season. I still don't quite understand it. Part of it's the way he's pitching. It's not so much the arsenal that much. The knuckle curve grip changed in the last couple of years. I think he scrapped a cutter a few years back as well. Injuries have made it really complicated to get a feel for just how different he really is. But Paul Sporer at Fangraphs had a really good piece about what Vargas is doing differently to attack hitters. And it's really more about location than anything else.
Okay. Do you recall what he said about that? I'll look it up later.
I think he was, if I remember correctly, and don't kill me if I'm wrong, I think Vargas is working inside more often than outside. And he used to be the opposite.
I guess that's preferable anyway. But yeah, his velocity is like lower than ever. Just doesn't seem to matter. But again, it's like I'm not even like sold on Vargas today. Kind of the opposite. But when you look at some of these other guys, like just a bunch of jokers today. I don't know.
Yeah, it really is. And it comes down to which pitcher are you least fearful of?
Yep.
So for me, Liriano, I mean, like, this seems like a good spot for him, but every time I trust Liriano, I seem to get that wrong.
He's probably not going to get help from his bats.
The lineup behind him right now is just a mess, so that's a concern. The Angels have a few big righties that can do damage.
They're actually favored in that one.
Yeah.
Chavez.
I don't like the setup much for Liriano today. You go down to the next tier. Amir Garrett is the fifth most expensive pitcher on the board today. He's mixing all three of his pitches really well. He's looked great early on, but he has to go into Milwaukee and take on a Brewers team that has plenty of thump from the right side.
To show how bad this slate is pitchers-wise, again, this is assuming that Archer isn't in. I'm probably going to stack a bit against Garrett a little bit, like Domingo, maybe a couple other Brewers, and yet he's number three on the slate for me. So, he's so good as a talent that, like, yeah, he could do well here, but he's had some lucky bounces so far, and the Brewers are just a dangerous group of bats generally, and it's in that stadium, obviously. So I'm not going to be picking him, but yeah, he's like number I have him over Liriano, I think, just because he's like the better player at this point. The
Brewers have a 389 team WOBA against lefties early this season, so that's a great spot for them, potentially. The only issue is, you know, Garrett's on fire.
Good.
So
yeah,
it's going to be an interesting matchup nonetheless. So I'm more inclined to fade Garrett and actually play a few Brewers hitters against him than I am to play him at this point. We'll see if that feeling changes over the next 6 hours or so. Brett Anderson, 7,500, going on the road to Pittsburgh. I don't really like that. Yeah. I think the possibility of a short start is always kind of looming for me with Anderson. Miguel Gonzalez, home against Jason Vargas and the Royals. I never get a good read on him. Hyunjin Ryu at 7,200 against the Giants makes some sense if you want to go a little cheaper.
He's given up so many homers. He doesn't seem... I mean, his game is not like velocity or anything, so I don't think it's like a physical issue, but whatever it is, rhythm, it doesn't seem like it's there.
Yeah, he's just not great right now, and that's part of the problem. Ricky Nolasco is 7,100. It's going to be Chavez, though, instead. So Nolasco...
Wait, is it? Are we sure?
I think they made a change. They pushed Nolasco back. So Nolasco shows up in the FanDuel list, but Jesse Chavez is supposed to start that game for the Halos. Hmm. Kane and Chad Kuhl, 7,000, 6,900, respectively.
Is Chavez like a GPP consideration against those miserable Toronto bats?
Could be.
I mean, they are favored, for what it's worth.
In a big field GPP, I could see that as your alternative, like your second or third lineup, just not your primary.
Right. Yeah, I guess he might be number four for me. He had a couple nice years with Oakland a few years ago. I don't know if that was just luck, but I don't know. This is a bad pitcher slate, and he's doing 8 Ks per nine the last 2 years. So I don't know. I guess I might do that.
Chad Kuhl gets the Cubs at home at PNC, but it's the Cubs. I don't use pitchers going up against them.
He's not a strikeout guy, and he's going into a buzzsaw.
Yeah, it's too risky. Ubaldo, talked about him before. Chacin on the road is a target. Garza at home against the Reds, I think, is a target.
Yeah.
Martin Perez against the Twins is something I don't like. Phil Hughes on the other side of that matchup against the Rangers is a target. And then Tyler Anderson at 5,500. Hasn't been pitching well. I think, obviously, at Coors Field, he'd be a target as well. So there's a lot of guys that you want to use hitters against, and just so few options that maybe a Jesse Chavez comes up higher than expected. But I think it's just Greinke or bust for me, unless the weather changes in Baltimore. If the weather gets better, I'm on Archer at 9,500.
I'm still scared of those Baltimore bats. They're better against righties than lefties. But yeah, Archer's a great player, obviously. For me, it's Greinke and Vargas, and I just talked myself into Chavez as the GPP third option.
Gross. Just gross.
I'm excited.
Moving on now to some of the bats. We talked about the stacks a moment ago briefly. I mean, stacking Rangers makes sense. Maybe stacking some Brewers could make some sense.
A lot of bats that look good.
You know, Rockies, Nats, of course. People are going to try to load up on them as much as they can. Arizona hitters against Chacin also makes a lot of sense. Twins even, perhaps, going against Martin Perez. But looking a little further down, I think you can find one more stacking option that's pretty intriguing. Kind of stumbled on this one during the XM show. The Dodgers are very affordably priced because they're going into San Francisco. The park factors are not favorable for left-handed home runs. Early forecasts do have the wind blowing out today in San Francisco, so you get a discount on a guy like Corey Seager. Adrian Gonzalez is very affordable, too, even though I'm not crazy about him. But you can get a handful of Dodgers mixed in at lower-than-usual prices today going up against Matt Cain, who's been very homer-prone over these last couple seasons.
Yeah. Do we know, is Jock Peterson going to miss time?
Day-to-day, I think, with that groin strain.
I guess that hurts their projection if he's out today. But as far as Grandal and Seager go specifically, very affordable, and I think they've got pretty good homer odds in each case. 2,800 for Grandal. It's better against righties than lefties, and Kane is a kind of a turkey as far as righties go. Then at 3,300 for Seager, I mean, I know it's a bad stadium, but his righty splits are just vicious, and Kane is, again, an easy target for a guy like that, I think. So, yeah, I'll probably be going with a good amount of those two. And then they figure they'll be pretty lowly owned given the Coors game.
So what do you think about stacking Cubs today too? Because this could be one of those days where the park kind of weighs it down a bit like
it'll
the
be
Dodgers.
Low ownership for how good they are. It's just, is it really today that you want to try that kind of try to push your luck on something like that today when there's all these other probably high scoring games? Like I just wouldn't want to try with the Cubs before I would try with the Rangers or something.
No,
who are probably like fourth in line behind both of the Coors teams in Arizona.
It seems unusual that you could name off five or six stacks that you like better than the Cubs, but I think that's the case even with a smaller kind of mid-range size slate.
So ownership will be low, for whatever it's worth, for people considering that.
Let's take a look at the catcher position. You mentioned Yasmani Grandal before, someone that you like quite a bit in that matchup against Matt Cain. I think Posey, if you can afford it, if you go with one of those cheap pitchers we talked about, Posey against the lefty and Hyunjin Ryu at 3,700 always makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Dustin Garneau, if he catches, is 3,100. Tony Walters is 3,000. So the Colorado catcher could be the way to go. I think Walters is the lefty is more likely to get the nod, given that it's a righty and Jacob Turner.
Yeah, for what it's worth, if it's not Walters, I know it was a small sample because he hasn't been in the majors much, but Garneau's actually been competent against righties and the early sample actually better than against lefties.
It's cheap Coors exposure regardless of who is getting that opportunity. Matt Wieter is only 2,900 and Jose Lobatone is 3,000. So the Nats catcher situation is worth monitoring today too.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder if that... that Baltimore hat in his photo is going to make people just scroll past him.
That'd be awesome.
Wieters, I didn't notice him before. That's what I did, to be clear. I was like, yeah, he's for Baltimore. They're not going to play. So Wieters makes a lot of sense. I think there's a couple other options too. Whoever catches for Milwaukee today, I like as a tournament option. And longer shot, Chris Herman, if he's in. 2,200.
That's always like if he's playing and it's home, especially against the righty.
Yep.
Yeah, Chris Herman is in the mix. I don't remember. I got to look and see what they've done with Greinke on the mound so far. If it's been
I have no clue. Might be that low because it's not likely that he plays. But if he does, outfield, whatever. I don't care.
The lefty
against Chessin.
The other name I like is Jonathan Lucroy, 2,900 against Phil Hughes. I think that's probably my favorite play overall. But I agree with you on the Brewers catchers as well as being viable options. Manny Pena has been better than I ever could have imagined as a hitter so far. Defensively, he's got a cannon for an arm. He's been throwing runners out. Yeah, he's hit a couple times.
I thought that Nelson was getting run on yesterday, and Pena just like wasn't getting anybody.
He was gunning guys down who were taking excessive leads off of second. He was throwing down to second to get runners going back.
Huh? Yeah. Why was he in AAA? Like, if he's that good defensively,
I don't know. I think he's worked on it. Maybe he's always had the strong arm, but the receiving skills weren't good. I wish I knew a little more about him.
The bat seems reliable.
He's got a 9-game hitting streak now too. A bit of a surprise.
But Bandy too. He's got some pop at least. So if he's in, either one. I like both of them. Both good pickups by what's his name? Who runs that team?
David Stearns. Man, he's got it going. He's got the team going in the right direction. Looking at first base, I wish the White Sox would let Matt Davidson play. He's kind of been interesting when they've let him play, but
isn't
they aren't doing that.
Bad though.
Probably.
Like he's still striking out like Chris Davis levels, and he's or probably more than that, and he's just. even as far as the power goes, it seems like it might be a little bit of a mirage, because he was like a guy who would get 20 homers in AAA, but at like 600 plate appearances, which, you know, when you strike out that much, you better be like a 30 guy.
They should still.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like they have better options. So
The chalk play of the day on the XM show was Joey Votto. I think that's easily one of the best matchups you can get. 4,200 in Milwaukee against Matt Garza.
Still think it's Zimmerman or Reynolds probably that most people go after.
Probably. I like Votto better than both. He's more expensive, so there's
that. That's worth considering. Yeah, yeah.
No reason to avoid the two first basemen going in Colorado. The punt play for me, I know we've talked about how difficult it is to get a read on Miguel Gonzalez. Brandon Moss is only 2,600, gets a pretty big park boost going into Chicago. I think when you get the Royals lefties out of Kansas City, they become quite a bit more interesting, and Moss is very cheap at that $2,600 price tag.
Yeah, I won't be picking him just because I'm kind of low on him as a player and oddly afraid of Miguel Gonzalez at this point, but I certainly hope Brandon Moss does something, because I'm desperate enough to be starting him in a staff keeper too. So, but yeah, I won't be picking him. At first I'll probably go with I'm definitely in on the Zimmerman hype, certainly more than Reynolds, so I'll probably go with Zimmerman and Votto. And but I guess you could, you know, go after Goldschmidt too with if Chacin melts down, it's probably because Goldschmidt gets in on it.
Yeah, Goldschmidt at home always becomes more interesting. Usually it's Goldie against the lefty, but Goldie against Chacin should be...
Goldie against a righty, he can steal more. I don't know. If they give up runs, he's probably going to do a lot of that damage.
Seems pretty likely. Moving over to second base, you know, lefty-lefty for Daniel Murphy at Coors, pretty expensive, but only 4,200, which is really not that bad if you go cheap with pitching. If you look at splits, the splits against the handedness of the opposing started pitcher, the leaderboard for today, Murphy among second basemen has the highest OPS, even though it's lefty-lefty. He's a 920 OPS against lefties going back to the start of last season. By comparison,
he always had average at least against lefties too.
Yeah, 540 slug since the start of last year too. So maybe a bit contrarian on the surface, but I think he's in the mix if you can afford it.
No, I love him today. I mean, he's the top second base play for me, even with a lot of other good ones. Like LeMahieu is a really good play at 3,700. Dozier at 3,600 might be the chalkiest, just because, it's a great matchup, first of all, and 600 less than Murphy when the splits are more conventionally in Dozier's favor. He might be the chalkiest. Him or Odor, right? Like, Odor's usually popular in a matchup like this, and for good reason at 3,200.
Yeah, plenty of pop for Odor. 513 slug against righties since the start of last season. Brandon Drury at 2,600, kind of interesting too, if he's in there with a high spot in the order against Chacin. I like VR going up against Garrett as part of a possible Brewer stack, though, based on where he hits in the order. Yeah. Only 3,000. If you're not playing Zach Greinke, I am, so I can't use Ryan Schimpf. But Ryan Schimpf at 2,700 going into Chase Field, kind of interesting as well.
Yeah, I won't be picking him, but he's definitely among the most powerful at that position. I think I'm going to try to really get a Murphy lineup, though, because it's easy to imagine him being on the GPP winners at a uniquely favorable batting situation and maybe slightly lowered ownership at being the only over 4,000 second baseman and going against another lefty.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Moving over to third base, you know, David Freese against the lefty always gets some consideration. Still just 2,500 with that matchup against Brett Anderson. I think the problem is, you know, Pittsburgh is a park, really stifles right-handed power, so that takes away some of the intrigue, but the Pirates by necessity have to hit Freeze pretty high in the order, so he's in there if you have to go cheap at third base, but with so many quality options, I mean, Arenado at 4,900, of course, if you can find the money, go nuts. He's in play.
Jake Lamb
at 3,900, though, probably the sweet spot in terms of park, matchup, price, and possible production.
Yeah, I figure he might be the highest owned, depending on how much money people have for third base. Obviously, Arenado is the gold standard, but Jake Lamb is also a very, very nice play and quite a bit cheaper. Miguel Sano, 3,500, going against Martin Perez. So I'll be thinking hard about Miguel Sano in a spot or two, and otherwise, guess you could consider Gallo in a tournament play against Hughes.
Yeah, Gallo, I mean, he's been showing a ton of power, of course, as you expect, very feast or famine, but you're looking for the long ball in DFS anyway. Mike Moustakas against Miguel Gonzalez is kind of interesting. 3,200 is the price. He gets the park boost I talked about before with Brandon Moss. And the difference between the two, especially, is that you're not going to necessarily have to worry about where Moustakas is hitting in the lineup. Brandon Moss has been hitting lower in the order at times, as low as 8th recently. So I think that's the one thing that's working against Brandon Moss right now, but it's not impacting Mike Moustakas quite the same way.
Sorry, not a retraction quite, but I guess I should mention, looks like that Texas game has a pretty considerable inward wind. I guess a lot of these games do. But yeah, 13 miles going inward, it looks like, from slightly right field in that game, for what it's worth. Do you have an opinion on that? I don't know what to make of that exactly. I don't have any perspective on what that wind actually means.
So, yeah, blowing in from left is one of the forecasts I've seen at like 15 miles per hour. I think that's enough. At 15 miles per hour, that's enough to significantly impact the flight of the ball. So okay. If that's holding up closer to game time, my interest in the Hughes targeting goes down, and Perez targeting as well.
Okay.
I think it's even more problematic for a righty. If the wind is blowing in from left field and you want a pull power righty to go deep, that's not going to happen. It's more likely a lefty would pull a ball down the right field line.
The FanDuel one is showing it coming in like that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Kevin Roth Roto Grinders.
Okay. So it's a matter of interpretation. We don't know how that's going to go. But man, I wish that wind wasn't there, because I got really hyped for the Gallo pick. He's got 10 homers in his last, 97 at bats in that stadium. So he seems to like the place. Anyway, sorry. Back to wherever we were.
We were about to go to the outfield, I think.
But okay.
I was talking about
shortstop.
Short. We didn't cover short.
Oh yeah, you were talking about Moustakas against Gonzalez. Yeah, that's a good pick.
Yeah, we'll get short in real quick here too. Trey Turner's only 4,500. As you can hear, my voice is almost shot, so we're gonna wrap this up fairly soon. But Trey Turner 4,500 today, going on the road. It's against the lefty. He's $1,000 cheaper than Bryce Harper, which gives you an idea of just where Turner's at after missing some time. It comes down to the same thing I've been saying the whole time. Depending on how cheap you go at pitcher, if you can afford it, great. If you can't, Story for $500 less makes some sense going up against Jacob Turner. $4,000 is the price there. And even if you don't want to stack Dodgers, Corey Seager at $3,300 is a bargain.
Yeah, he gets Kane, who doesn't matter where it is, he's vulnerable to the home run, and Seager obviously murders righties, so I'm probably not going to bother with anybody other than the top three at shortstop, but if I did, I think a guy like Defoe is worth considering in a tournament at $3,000. Otherwise, Andrews is a more stable option among the lower prices.
Yeah, I was heavier on Andrews this morning with the weather kind of looking, with the wind looking the way it does. I'm a little less excited about him, but
you probably weren't banking on a home run with him specifically, though. Like, you can imagine him getting to home plate and knocking in a couple runs and getting a steal or something.
Right. You're looking more for like 2-for-4 with an RBI and a run, or, you know, something with a steal.
Because he's cheap, 2,900.
Yeah. Definitely like Andrews a little bit, but just not as excited as I was a bit earlier.
Right.
Looking now at the outfield. I mentioned Harper, 5,500. I feel like he'll be pretty low owned at that price, even with cheap pitching crowding up most of the slate. I feel like the interest in him will be low enough where if you do build around Bryce Harper, you may get him at a lower ownership rate than you'd expect at Coors Field.
Yeah, if I had to guess, I would think it's probably going to be something like 18 to 20. Whereas normally, if he were going against a righty, it'd be like 65 or something, maybe even more than that. So I'll probably be sticking to tournaments today, and with that being the case, I will likely have a Harper lineup, just as I'll likely have a Murphy lineup, and maybe in the same one. I don't know. I have to play around with the finances a bit to pull that off.
Looking at the other options, Charlie Blackman, 4,500. I really like
he's
that.
He's the chalkiest one. Yeah, he's going to be the highest owned outfielder, I think.
I think he will be too. His teammate, Carlos Gonzalez, has had a rough start to begin the year. 3,900. I know he got hit by a pitch last week, but had a hit in each of the three games against the Giants. Hasn't really taken significant time off. He's been drawing walks. He's not striking out that much. I think Cargo at 3,900 makes a lot of sense as well.
Yeah, he might not. Maybe if his hand is a little too screwed up, he might not have the home run potential specifically, but this is a great spot for him to get, like, you know, 2 doubles and 3 RBI or something.
One other thought on some of these Nats hitters. Jason Worth is 3,600.
Yeah.
You know, the Nats played Sunday night in New York, so a late flight out to Denver.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the first game for a team coming into Coors, they don't hit quite like you'd expect.
You're
they
delirious adjusted. From the air pressure or something.
Right. Like there's some kind of effect when you first get there that you don't necessarily adjust quickly. There might be a case to fade the Nat side. I still, with Tyler Anderson being a lefty and one who's not pitching all that well, I'm inclined to still use Nats, but maybe a full Nat stack would be going too far tonight.
Yeah, I just did not think about that, but that's a really good thing to consider, I think. Now I'm all queasy about my stupid plan that I had. But
I just want to make everybody really upset.
Yeah, I'm very mad. But yeah, that's a good thing to think about. That must matter. It was a late game they played yesterday, and now they got to travel after not sleeping that much, and they're going into this like kind of like a different planet almost at that elevation. So yeah, I'm probably gonna lessen the shares. I'm probably gonna move off of Zimmerman. Still gonna try to keep Murphy and Harper in like one of my two or three lineups. But other than that. Lots of things to attack at the Colorado side still, even in the outfield. Like Parra at 3,500, definitely in play if he's in the lineup, and he should be. Otherwise, Nomar Mazara at 3,300 could be, even with that win coming in, could be one of the two or three highest owned at the position, and for good reason. I think I'm willing to take that risk with the wind at 3,300 with him going against a righty.
I am too. I think Mazara is a terrific play. David Peralta, 3,000 against Julius Chacin at home at Chase Field. I think that's a good spot for him.
I like Duval for your Votto stack at 3,100. Crushes righties, and Garza's a big old turkey.
It seems like Duval gets overlooked all the time.
His splits probably creep people out, and like they probably have like bad memories of picking him against lefties when they thought it was a lock for a homer, and it's like, no, he bats like 210 against them for some reason. Doesn't make any sense.
Peralta's been on fire lately. He's got five multi-hit games in the last six, eight hits in the weekend series against the Dodgers. That $3,000 price tag is a gift, really, when you take a look at it. Domingo Santana, 2,900 tonight. You also have a pretty low price on Keon Broxton. So
yeah, if Hernan Perez is in, I think he's in play. He's probably really cheap because he barely 2,500. So yeah, those. I like those Brewers righties as a way of saving a little cash and getting pretty good subtle home run potential out of them anyway.
Yeah, I think if you are fading Amir Garrett, there are lots of cheap ways to do it, as we've been talking about. Initially, I kind of liked Alex Gordon as a cheap play going up against Miguel Gonzalez, but if he's dropped in the order, you know, the power hasn't really been there. I think maybe it's just time for me to give up the dream on Alex Gordon.
Yeah, he seems kind of toast. Doesn't really seem to do much other than walk. Like, that's about it.
Yeah.
So I won't be picking him. I probably will be staying away from the Royals, even though the Moustakas and Moss picks make sense for home run potential individually. I don't think they're going to score a lot as a team. Just doesn't seem like something they're capable of these days.
Yeah, so it's kind of a mess a little lower down. I don't really see a lot that I like. Sub 2,500 tonight in the outfield. You probably want to pay up a little more of a premium tonight. But you mentioned Hernan Perez. If he's in there,
he's had a cold year, but I still believe in that guy. I still think he's a very good utility guy, and he's got subtle pop, subtle speed. He was a beast last year, and I think he's more that player than the one he was this year.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think the speed being what it is, and that team being built the way they're built, that bodes really well for Hernan Perez as a guy that will contribute pretty consistently when he does get chances. It's going to take an injury. You know, someone's got to go on the DL. Once that happens, he'll play more. Nick Franklin being on the roster is a little bit of a concern.
He only hits righties, I guess.
Yeah, so they're kind of like opposite pieces, and they got rid of Kirk Nieuwenhuis, so it looks like it's okay for Hernan Perez if you're looking for that cheap
speed. Not really much in season long, but in DFS if he gets the right matchup. But yeah, otherwise that game in general is so affordable. Like even Schebler two times in 2 days makes a lot of sense. Billy Hamilton's pretty cheap for a guy who's going against Garza and can steal twice.
Yeah, I think picking on Garza makes a lot of sense. Baseball fans, the wait is over. Baseball is back, which means FanDuel is back, and it's better than ever. Fantasy baseball for everyday fans. New contests starting every day. No busted seasons. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and compete against other fans. New for this year, we have late swap contests. You can edit your players right up to the start time of their individual game. No more worrying about a sudden storm or a late lineup scratch. There are also non-late swap contests that are still available as well. Updated scoring includes quality starts, so you're not chasing wins quite the same way. Pitchers have more control over their performance. And you've got friends mode as well. You can create a league for your friends, choose the days you play each week. New contests are created automatically, plus a leaderboard that will keep track of how you all stack up against each other. I've been going more 50-50s in tournaments this year, as I continue to say. Going to be a lighter day for me today, but Tuesday is usually a heavy day, so probably going to have a good mix of GPPs and cash games coming up on Tuesday. Have all the fantasy that baseball has to offer. FanDuel, be sports rich. Sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com/RW. Special offer for new users. Deposit today and you'll get a free 6-month RotoWire subscription plus 5 free entries up to $50 in value to try a variety of sports on FanDuel. It's FanDuel.com/RW. It's going to wrap things up for the Monday episode of the RotoWire DFS podcast brought to you by FanDuel. We'll be back with you on Tuesday.